The presenter was Lisa Costello. Slinging the nightmares we just can't stand into Room 101 is surely a bit of a dream. It's an experience that Giles Brandreth is about to enjoy in the company of his just-a-minute sparring partner, Paul Merson. Then a dramatic week in Ambridge continues.
I just wanted to be alone. Alone with my anger, until it had all gone. No danger to anyone. And yet, I've hurt people, including my own best friend. And I can't remember any of it. I was parked up, engine off, drinking, just trying to get all of it out of my system and calm down. And then, nothing. So, what happens now?
An unmissable week in The Archers continues on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds tonight at 7.
Then at 7.15, it's Front Row. Gender and violence is on the agenda in Antisocial at 8. Then why a couple of economists reckon happiness is U-shaped. Uncharted with Hannah Fry is at 8.45. But now on Radio 4, our 6.30 comedy. Let's join Paul Merson.
Supposing you had the chance to get rid of some of your worst nightmares, what would they be? My guest is here to persuade me to banish the items on his list to a place where they'll never be seen again. This is Room 101. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please welcome writer, broadcaster, raconteur, former politician and full-time enthusiast, Giles Brandreth!
Thank you, thank you. Oh, this is nice.
Now, Giles, you seem to be a very cheerful, ebullient sort of person, but are you really a pent-up ball of rage?
No, I don't think I am. I think I am, on the whole, a very jolly person. Mm-hmm. But there are some things, a few things, that do get my goat.
Yes.
And the first one I'd like to put forward mm-hmm. for you is this. My wife and I have taken to watching a television channel that shows old detective stories. Mm-hmm. We like this because we didn't understand them the first time round. And we are now able to solve the murder because we're seeing it for the second or even third time.
Yes.
And we've helped ourselves because we've managed to get the subtitles up.
Yeah.
Which for a series called Vera is absolutely essential. Because though it's wonderful, I'm a great fan of Brenda Blethyn, I do not understand a word that any of the characters are saying. So maddeningly, we got them up now. We can't get them down because the relevant grandchild never seems to be available. So we've become hooked on all these old murder mysteries.
Yes.
But we find the commercial breaks quite disconcerting. Mm-hmm. Because though we are of a certain vintage, we don't feel we are about to die.
But it's reassuring for the audience here tonight. So you are going to tell us what your first choice is?
It is the advertisements.
Yes.
On this particular channel. The first one that really annoys me is there's somebody sitting in a chair.
Yes.
Who looks relatively young. Mm-hmm. But they press a button, oops, yes. And the chair, and they stand up. And then this relatively young person begins walking about, and they're joined by a spaniel. They go out for a walk, like this. I mean, that's annoying enough.
Yes.
Then there are ones for baths. These are the ones that my wife really finds irritating.
Yes.
They are for baths, apparently for older people, with a sort of door in the side to enable you to get in and out. Mm-hmm. The first thing that annoys us is, I didn't know this about women, there's always a model, again, sort of middle-aged,
yes.
Obviously aimed at older people,
yes.
Wearing a bathing costume. Now, I don't know about your home life.
Yes.
But on the whole, my wife doesn't wear a bathing costume when she goes to the a bath. I imagine your wife's asked you to wear bathing trunks, but that's a different matter.
Can I ask you to stop imagining what me and my wife get up to?
So, we first of all picture these ladies sitting on perched on the edge of the bath.
Yes.
Then these are special baths for people to enable, for easy access and egress.
Yes.
They do not work. I know they do not work because my mother, my lovely mother, who died at the age of 96, towards the end of her life, she bought one of these baths. It cost over £2,000. It was a few years ago. Over £2,000. She got into the bath, lovely hot water, full of bath suds, and she was really enjoying it. Then she opened the door to get out, flooded the bathroom. So they're selling us things that, frankly, do not work.
Yes.
Then there are people who used to be quite respected newsreaders who pop up trying to sell you gold coins.
Yes.
That you know must be worthless. The very fact they're being advertised suggests they are worthless.
Well, I mean, do you feel sorry for some of these celebrities whose perhaps their best days have gone, that they're now presenting these sort of adverts? Do you feel a tinge of empathy for them?
I do feel empathy, and of course, I am the voice of one of the most popular of these daytime advertisements.
Well, you don't need to tell us about it anymore because we have an example of it here.
Oh, God. Ah, that's it. Put your feet up. You deserve it. A Riser recliner from the Recliner Factory is best of British, handcrafted just for you. Makes you proud. The Recliner Factory sell direct, so that could mean more cash in the kitty. Now, recliners are buy one, get one, half price. No struggling to get in and out of your chair. Look at this. Get that luxury for less. So, ladies and gentlemen, the power of AI nowadays. It's terrifying. You bastard, where did you find that? Now,
I mean, the very thing you talk about, chairs that help you sort of sit down and get up.
Yes, but I do it off screen.
Yes.
I'm doing it off screen. And I have to say, I have just recorded a new one. I had doubts about this.
Yes.
But they said, your voice is exactly what our product requires.
Is it Dignitas?
They said, what you sound like what we want you to sound like. Mm. Would you please do this? I said, no the first time. I said, no the second time. The third time, I prayed, I was tempted by the money, and I thought, well, this may see me out. And so I'm pleased to tell you, Paul, that I am now the voice of the Tenor Flex Plus Super Soft Incontinence Pad.
I think at this point I should point out that other incontinence pads are available.
Apparently my voice is exact, smooth, emollient, absorbent.
Do people need the pads before they hear you speaking?
Sometimes when they hear me speak, they're grateful that they're wearing them. But no, the truth is, the fee is very good. I get the free samples. I mean, the fact is, however long we're here, you may need to slip away. I can stay here all night. I was tempted by the funeral planning one, only because I do have a family connection with the funeral trade. My grandfather, his first cousin, married a Kenyan. The Kenyans is a famous undertaking family. They did Queen Victoria's funeral. Just dropping that in. and I have for many years hosted the British Funeral Directors Awards.
And the best polished brass handle of 2023.
Mock not. Actually, it's a jollier affair than you might imagine.
I actually think it's a hoot.
This year, they were pretty merry because it's been a fabulous few years for them. They do the two big prizes at the end of the evening. One is for the crematorium of the year.
Yeah.
Known as the Creme de la Creme Award. And then there's the Lifetime Achievement Award for thinking outside the box.
Well, I mean, I do agree with you. These adverts, you know, can be very depressing. You're talking about old age. Would you want to be young now, given the sort of social media being what it is and house prices being unaffordable? Are you glad you grew up in the world that you grew up in, or would you prefer to be growing up in this one?
Yes, I have never left the 1950s. Mm. In my head, that's where I am. But Oscar Wilde pointed out that the...
To you personally?
If only. Wouldn't that have been wonderful?
It would have been nice to have met
Oscar
him, wouldn't it?
Oscar Wilde, yes. But Oscar Wilde pointed out that the tragedy of old age is not that one is old, but that one is still young. And the truth is, in my head, I'm still like I was. Mm. So that's when you see these advertisements, you're enjoying your murder mystery, and then pops up all these advertisements for people who are sort of, well, next to death. It reminds you that maybe you're not as young as you think you are.
You've been very eloquent on this thing. Half the things I was going to say, I don't need to say.
But do feel free in case they want to edit them in.
We set aside a special afternoon for that. No, I do agree with you, Giles. I think these adverts are terribly depressing. So in they go to room 101.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so Giles, tell me about your next choice.
People who telephone you, they telephone you, and when you speak to them, it's clear that they've got something in their mouth, which is probably food. They actually phone you while they are eating a sandwich or slurping a coffee. What is annoying me,
yes,
they've decided, oh, I'm going to phone Giles now, yeah, so they get the sandwich ready. They take the first bite, the first slurp, and then they make the phone call. They get the snacks all ready. Oh, what's this thing? Oh, what is this thing with snacks? Can we add an extra element to
yes.
this? I load snacks everywhere you go. Oh, where are the snacks? Where are the snacks?
Do you mean everywhere you go?
People are always offering you snacks.
Are they?
Yes. You don't maybe get out much, but I... would you not agree, ladies and gentlemen, everywhere you... Snacks. Is it not snack heaven now?
What's wrong with snacks?
You what? Want...
Form a sentence, Giles, that'll be useful for the programme.
I like a proper meal.
Yes.
I do not need snacks. We should discourage snacking. But everywhere
you go... Are you talking about like crisps, chocolate bars, that sort of thing? Or?
I am. Right. Talking about crisps, chocolate bars, salted peanuts, things that people want to... salted peanuts, another thing we can talk about. Dipping your fingers in. Other people's fingers have touched the... Oh, exactly. So can that be an extra one, please?
Yes, by all means.
So snacks can be an extra one.
You did say at the beginning of this programme that you found things didn't really annoy you that much. I don't know that you're accruing them by the dozen.
You are releasing something in me that has been actually bottled up for years.
Hence the incontinence pads.
Yeah. So...
I'm glad to be of service.
You are. Can I say, I'm finding this more therapeutic than I realised.
Yes. Are there other noises? So you're talking about sort of the noise of eating. Are there any other noises that you don't like the scrunching of tin foil or nails down a blackboard?
Ooh. Nails down a blackboard. We all hate that, don't we? I mean, you and I, we belong to the wacko generation.
Reference to a very old sitcom starring Jimmy Edwards.
Oh, it was wonderful.
Yes.
And what is so extraordinary?
Corporal Punishment.
Corporal Punishment. It was fabulous. The actual show was called Wacko. We knew it was all about whacking people. And the programme began with Jimmy Edwards, who was this splendid comedian with great moustaches, known as Professor Jimmy Edwards.
Yes.
Because he'd been to university. And the show would begin with a shot of him flexing his cane.
Yes.
And really the highlight of the programme, we had 30 minutes just waiting for the children to be beaten. oh.
Yes, it was...
God, it was good.
It was...
I mean, it was
family entertainment.
That was what the BBC was about in the good old days.
Now, on the subject of manners and behaviour, you're not very keen on bad language, are you?
Off. No, I am not. I tell you, seriously. I wasn't expecting that, that's all.
No. I don't think anybody was expecting that.
I'm not keen on bad language in public places. Mm-hmm. I travel a lot on the bus. I've reached the age now where in my part of town it's free. Anything that's free I quite enjoy. I often go up the street and then down the street and up the street and down. Thanks to the pads, I can be there from dawn till dusk. I've really resented it in London when they've stopped. The circle line is no longer a circle.
Is it
not? Used to be a proper circle. No.
What's happened?
I know exactly. What has happened to the circle line?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You know, I think we're going to put the whole of modern society into your room 101.
Well, I mean, this could easily be a series on your own, because we're talking about bad language.
Yes. I tell you what I genuinely don't like. The English language is so rich. Mm. We have the richest language you know, in the world, mm-hmm. in English. Also, language is what empowers us. It's what makes us human and special. Mm-hmm. As Bertrand Russell said, no matter how eloquently a dog may bark, he cannot tell you that his parents were poor but well-meaning. Whereas...
I get the feeling you made up the last half of that quotation.
I had to censor it because I realised where it was going.
Oh, yeah.
But the point is, we have a wonderful language, yes. and I think to limit it is a bit depressing.
Yes, OK. Well, I mean, you've grouped together an awful lot of choices. You got another one?
Well, have we touched them on...?
Everything you've just said, and I can't remember half of them, but I remember somebody putting their hands in your nuts was one of them.
Yeah,
so they're all going into room 101. Okay, Giles, this illustrates your next choice.
I'm sorry, but the person you've called is not available. Please leave your message after the tone.
So?
This is so infuriating. I'm not able to communicate with my own children. I phoned them. This may be me.
That could be the common factor.
Yes, it could be. Thinking about this, I often hear my wife chatting to them. I try telephoning my children and my grandchildren. They've all got mobile phones. When you phone them up, you cannot even leave a voice message because they say, please don't. They expect to do this by WhatsApp. Strikes me as a very dangerous thing. It's almost brought down governments.
If the messages existed.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're phoning up young people, they don't answer the phone. Aren't you trying to sort of get them to work to your agenda, to your sort
yes.
of timing?
Yes. Yes. And to communicate. And I'm getting them to communicate. In the old days, you wanted, you know, ask somebody something about something and say whether they were free for that. You just call them up. They said, yes, no, not a good time to chat. That was fine. Now, there's a wall. They're there. There's an invisible moat around young people. They don't want to communicate with us. It's going to affect their well-being. Oh, yes. Yes. They want to be protected from me calling them. I see that now. Do you know, I tell you, people need people.
Yes.
I've been doing a programme on Channel 4 called Celebrity Gogglebox. Mm-hmm. They use the word celebrity pretty loosely. And I began doing it with Sheila Hancock,
yes.
who is a mutual friend of ours,
yes.
and a marvellous person. And we realised, actually, it's great fun to phone up a friend and say, come round, let's watch the telly together. Because mm-hmm. you can watch it at home alone, but actually to do it with a friend. Mm-hmm. And we began doing this in Gogglebox, and we were sitting on the sofa side by side, thinking, actually, this is quite fun. We're not actually talking to one another, we're just watching the programme together. Mm-hmm. But there was a kind of companionship that was really quite endearing. It was quite strange for us, too, because she is now 90, and I'm getting on a bit, and we realised as the weeks went by that week after week we were meeting and getting gradually hooked on a programme called Naked Attraction. And because Sheila's of a certain age now, we had to move the sofa closer to the screen so that we could see it more clearly. So I'm all for people communicating, answering the phone, and just being just normal with one another, meeting one another.
I do agree with you, Giles. Having all this amazing technology that allows you to speak to another person almost anywhere in the world and then avoiding it does seem like madness. That personal touch is what, you know, particularly in the world where, you know, we often, on the phone, we hear robotic voices. No, Giles, we haven't got time.
Honestly.
I've learned to fear that sharp intake of breath.
No, but you're so right. The music that is played to you, that dreadful music. And when they've got the cheek to say, your call matters to us. I mean, honestly.
The people who don't answer the phone when it rings are definitely going into room 101.
Yay!
Well done. For your next choice, Giles, have a listen to this. Just to be clear, this isn't the noise a lorry makes when it's reversing. What is it?
This is the news on the BBC. And the very music there, I was twitching during it, and others in the audience were doing so as well, because it is written in the way that implies that you should be having a heart attack while this music is happening. It is there to distress and upset you. Now, I have decided that we need to stop the news. My wife and I have been so much happier since we abandoned the news and stuck to Bargain Hunt.
We both remember a time in the 1960s. I remember if there was a news flash that interrupted a programme, there would be a very sober-looking newsreader and maybe a map somewhere, you know, in the Middle East or whatever, with a very sad, bad, tragic story. And I can remember my parents sort of like getting quite anxious when this news flash came on. But you didn't have any footage of the earthquake or the ship that had sunk. But now that everybody's got a camera on their mobile phone, you can get instant coverage of whatever terrible disaster has happened.
And the breaking news, sometimes it's breaking news that really is tragic.
Yes.
And other times it's breaking news and it's Kim Kardashian has broken a toenail. So, you know, there is no... It's all fed to us at the same relentless rate.
Yes.
And if I'm being serious, I think the world, you know, in earlier times, it was equally dreadful world. There's always tragically been famine. There's sadly been wars forever. Peace is the unusual thing. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think in the last 200 years, there has never been one year mm-hmm. where there hasn't been a war somewhere in the world. Mm. But our forebears weren't aware of all of this. When news came, it came slowly. You could absorb it. And when it came straight to your front door, you had to face it, you know.
But I think on the other side of that, if you look at sort of the First World War, many people here who weren't in France were thinking it was a bit of a patriotic jolly and it was all going to be fun and fine and everything. But it was only when footage eventually arrived through sort of the early newsreels that people realised just how horrific it was. So we can't be entirely divorced from it, can we?
If we're being serious, I think we need to, with the balances out of control, I think this 24-hour news regime is exhausting. It's addictive. Mm-hmm. You know, you're following the crisis. And I don't think it's good for your mental health. I don't think it's necessarily good for young people to feel that the world is as grim and aggressive as it would seem from the news. I make the joke about Bargain Hunt, but it's true. We do watch it every day. And it's a lovely programme because it's about decent people with an enthusiasm and a hobby. Mm-hmm. You learn something from it. And you suddenly realise, actually, the world is full of mostly of good people,
yes,
doing
yes,
good things, yes, carrying on their lives.
Yes.
And yet we would think, it's all too awful for words.
I think you'll agree with this. There was a newsreader from the 80s and 90s, Martin Lewis, not the money-saving expert, but a different Martin Lewis. He once made a speech appealing for more positive news stories, and he was ridiculed by people like John Simpson, who said that Martin Lewis just wanted dogs on skateboards. But actually, what Martin Lewis said was, the balancing factor in choosing which stories to cover should not be the degree of violence, conflict, failure or disaster, but should be based on the extent to which those stories shape or change the world in which we live.
Absolutely. I'm with Sir Martin Lewis on that completely. Mm. And actually, if you look at the world as it's perceived on television or in the newspapers, you'd think things were very, very grim in this country. But if you spend as much time as I do in the world of television, radio, cinema, theatre, the arts, literature, actually, this is almost a golden age. There's some wonderful poets at work in this country, some wonderful artists at work. If you go to the theatres, you think, oh my goodness, so much fabulous stuff is happening. Now, these things are news as well. Mm-hmm. New productions, new works of art. But they are drowned out by the relentless beat of the drum and the people like John Simpson who are hooked on the adrenaline rush that comes with being in the war zone. Mm. And that is exciting, and it's important, and it's dramatic, but I think the balance is now out of kilter.
If you agree that the news is the most important thing about the BBC, say yes. Oh.
Exactly. This audience is as one. The most important thing about the BBC is just a minute. Full stop.
There is a news website called positive.news, which has the same idea as what we were talking about. They did some research recently that showed over the course of a month, only 16% of the coverage of the main newspapers in the UK was positive. Here are some positive headlines from this week's edition of positive.news. Australians have been given the legal right to ignore messages from their boss out of working hours. Do we think that's a good idea? Sighting of hedgehogs are up 2% on last year.
Yay!
And good news for you, Giles, it's been discovered that you can treat Alzheimer's with Viagra. You get an erection, but you don't know why. And if it happens when you look at an advert for reclining chairs, you think, I must get one of them. Giles, if you were the editor of a news programme, would you ever sacrifice a feel-good story for a piece of serious news?
Yes, if it was serious news. If it was new news, important international and national events do need to be reported.
Well, that's good, because we've got an example of you doing just that.
And speaking of romance, I am enormously romantic. Those of you who were watching 3 years ago on Valentine's Day will recall that I attempted on that occasion, with Anne Diamond, to make our way into the Guinness Book of Records by breaking the record for the longest held screen kiss. Unfortunately, we were unable to achieve the record because Good Morning Britain is very much news-orientated, and quite rightly, we had to go over to Moscow for live coverage of President Brezhnev's funeral.
Never has a woman been more grateful for the death of a Russian leader. Do you know, I think we'd all be better off without the news, so, I mean, I can't think of a single reason why it should stay out of Room 101, so it's definitely going into Room 101. So finally, Giles, we've talked about all the things that you don't like, and there's been many of them. Is there any one thing in your life that you couldn't possibly do without?
Well, this is an innovation. This is a new question.
Yes.
This is cutting edge.
Yeah.
Please put the question to me again so I can think about it.
Yes. Is there any one thing in your life that you couldn't possibly do without?
Yes. She's sitting in the front row. My wife.
What is it about your wife that you love?
I say my wife. Actually, your wife would be almost as good. I mean, the point is... No.
Oh, she'll treasure the word almost.
Well, since they're both in the room, I'm trying to walk the tightrope lightly.
Yeah, I think you fell off it about 20 minutes ago.
The point I'm making is that I have learnt from my wife, who I met at an audition 56 years ago.
You auditioned people to be your wife.
We were at university,
uh-huh.
And I was putting on a production of Cinderella.
Yes.
And I was looking for a beautiful girl to play the part of Cinderella. So all over the university, I put up notices saying, I'm conducting auditions. If you feel you have the looks and personality to be a fairy tale princess, and a lot of beautiful young people turned up. Michelle was one of them. And I have to say, it was, from my point of view, love at first sight. She didn't say yes then, and she hasn't said yes yet. But the pursuit is everything. And the four most important words in the English language I've discovered through knowing Michelle, and they are, listen to your wife. And if you do that over the years, you will find, Paul, that things don't, on the whole, go wrong. So that is... I'm getting quite tearing up on this. Listen to your wife is my message. Listen to your wife. So there you are.
Sometimes it'd be nice to have a choice, but ladies and gentlemen... Giles Brandreth!
Room 101 was written and presented by Paul Merton, with additional material by John Irwin and Suki Webster. It was produced by Richard Wilson. It's a Hat Trick production for BBC Radio 4.
That was the last in the current series of Room 101. And Hannah Fry, Chris McCausland and Naga Manchetti are some of the other guests we've heard from in recent weeks. Overly complicated toilet flushes was one of the suggestions. Head over to BBC Sounds to hear about their pet peeves.
Hi, Greg.
I'm Greg Foote, and I'm on a mission for you.
Hello, sliced bread.
Finding out if the Wonder products that claim to help us really are the best thing since sliced bread.
I'd really appreciate if you could look into it all.
What do you think?
Chatting with world-leading experts.
They're very good products.
Checking the marketing claims against the latest scientific evidence.
We've analysed something in the region of 500 clinical trials and 50,000 patients.
Taking a close look at contact lenses, hair dryers, air fresheners, and more.
I look forward to hearing what you find. Thanks, Greg.
The new series of Sliced Bread starts on Radio 4 and BBC Sounds tomorrow lunchtime at 12:30.